Colossians chapter 3, if you have your Bible this morning, we're just looking at the first four verses. We're on, this is Friday, is the 14th. That's called Valentine's Day, guys. If you've never heard of it, I would recommend that you get to know about it. And we will discuss the implications of relationships this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Why don't you stand with me, please? As we look at our relationship with the Lord, first of all, the Bible says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. The joy that is to be in your house, to be among brothers and sisters in Christ, to experience the love that you have shown us. And I pray that the love that we show one another would remind folks of you. Bless our time, please, in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Ravi Zacharias, the old school, old-style preaching. You're supposed to have 3 points in a poem. So I'm going to give you the poem first this morning. Ravi had a couple of them on love that I'll share with you. Love is like an onion. You taste it with delight, but when it's gone, you wonder whatever made you bite. Love is a funny thing, just like a lizard. It goes up around your heart, then jumps into your gizzard. Love is swell. It's so enticing. It's orange gel. It's strawberry icing. It's chocolate mousse. It's roasted goose. It's ham on rye. It's banana pie. Love is all good things without a question. In other words, it's indigestion. Then one other one here, he says, "Slippery ice, very thin, pretty girl tumbles in. Saw a boy on the bank, gave a shriek, then she sank. Boy on hand, heard her shout, jumped right in, pulled her out. Now she's his, very nice, but she had to break the ice." So there you go. That's all I know on poems this morning. So Colossians 3, "If ye then be risen with Christ." When it comes to relationships in our life, there's our relationship with Christ, and then there's our relationship with one another. And obviously, it's the relationships with one another that would remind us of Christ, but really, it's the relationship with Christ that teaches us love, because God is love, and if you don't know God, you don't know love. And the world is very confused on what love is, and in another message that I've talked about, maybe we'll share it tonight, is the definition of love in the year 2020, and there's the definition of love in the year 1920. And it's very much different of what we think love is now and what love was then. And obviously, what we want is a biblical picture of love. The message is in two parts this morning, our relationship with Christ. And, you know, discoveries are made in life. For instance, a recent discovery I've just made in the last couple of weeks in my life is Pinterest. Now, I thought it was a woman's thing, but come to find out on Pinterest, there's guy stuff. And so when you sign up on Pinterest, they give you all these things. They say, "What are you interested in?" So I checked off old tractors, vintage snowmobiles, and cars. And so now, every day, they send me in my inbox all these pictures were from Hemmings Motor News. Oh, man, that is so good, you know? And it's wonderful sermon prep for me to look at these things, and I feel so inspired. But it's a discovery that I've made. I thought I didn't know anything about Pinterest, and now I know a little bit about Pinterest. I thought it was a woman's thing, but guys, it's not totally a woman's thing. So, it's a discovery. I can tell that you're all wanting to go home and sign up for Pinterest, But somewhere in our life, there are revelations that come to us about universal truths. And a universal truth is pointed out in God's word that Romans 3:10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." And if you want to put it into today's vernacular, in the eyes of God, nobody's right. Now, I'm sure growing up, someone has looked at you like they looked at me at one point in my life and looked and said, "Stan, you're not right." And it might not have had to do anything to do with sin. It was just I was wrong about an assignment. I was wrong about the way I was behaving, but I was not right. Well, in God's eyes, he's looking at every one of us and saying, you're not right. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it's not an uncommon thing to talk to someone and say, you're going to heaven when you die, and that person, well, gee, I hope so, I think so, I'm a good person, I've done real well. And the reality of it is, no one is going to heaven apart from Christ. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So one, we're not right. Number two, we're all sinners. The Bible goes on to tell us that the wages of sin, the penalty for our sin, is death. Now, everyone dies, but the Bible refers to death in two different ways. There's physical death, and then there's eternal death, the death that never stops dying. This isn't popular, but the reality of it is, when someone passes away, sometimes it is said at the funeral service, they've gone to a better place, and we all comfort ourselves that they've gone to a better place. Well, let me tell you something. There's two places that people go when they die. They're either going to heaven or they're going to hell. Most people go to hell. The Bible teaches that there's a wide way and a narrow way. And the Bible says, few there be that find it. So in other words, not everybody's on the road to heaven. Most people are on the road to hell, and they need to make a discovery that the wages of their sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through who? Jesus Christ. And I've found even in our churches sometimes, sad to say, we hesitate in mentioning the name of Jesus. We can talk about God, we can talk about different things, but the name Jesus is a special name that's a divisive name, but it's the name above all names, that it's only through Jesus Christ can you experience forgiveness of sins, that you can be made right, that but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in that process, if we'll put our faith and trust, Romans 10:9-10 says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and we'll talk about that a little bit in our second relationship, but what we believe, we need to say so. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's not a hope-so thing. Talked to someone a while ago. I had never gotten this response before, but I asked him, if you're going to heaven? They said, well, I hope so. And I said to them, well, I know I'm going to heaven. And they looked at me, how could you be so conceited that you think you're going to heaven and you're so sure of it? And I'd never heard that before. And it's not conceit at all. It's recognizing that Jesus paid it all. And he paid the price, and it's because of him that I get to go, not because of me. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. With the heart, the center of your being, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. In verse Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the discovery is made that we're sinners going to hell, but there's a way to get to heaven, and it's not through good works. It's by trusting Christ as your Savior, and when you've made those steps, you've taken those steps, then it's not a matter of hoping you get there. It's a matter of knowing that Jesus paid it all, and when I die, I am going to heaven. That's a relationship with Jesus Christ. You get to know him. Then, the Bible, we get into his love letters, his 66 books that he gave us, and as we read them, we get to know him, we can become more like him, we develop a relationship with him. And so, there's a term out there called soulmate. Ever hear that? Soulmate. I heard a speaker speak recently that I really liked it, and you've heard me refer to it since then. There is a greater chance of you marrying a unicorn than a soulmate. And that's a fact. He went on to say the soulmate comes in the second decade. I completely agree with that. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. When you get into a relationship, oh, the lady said, oh, he's so romantic. He does. He brings me flowers. I never thought I'd meet a man like this. He's faking it. Trust me. It'll change. And all you ladies, yeah, that's true. That's what I was, yeah. We'll get into that a little bit later. So, 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." And that you believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm telling you here this morning, if you trust Christ as your Savior and you ask Him to forgive your sins and to come into your heart to be your Savior, you can be absolutely positive when you leave this life, you're going to heaven. We were at the deathbed of a lady last night, Clarice Dort, 91 years old. Bob Dort's mom, Emily Dort's grandmother, Nancy Quinn's aunt, related in this church. But those relationships there, those didn't get her to heaven. At some point in her life, she had trusted Christ as her personal Savior. And as we saw her slipping off into eternity, it was not a horrible thing. It was a time of celebration where we were sure where she was going, 91 years old. I was, for the most part, lived her entire life very healthy, no problems at all. Just now she's, the Bible would describe her as old and full of days. It's true. Now, this morning, she's in the presence of Jesus Christ. Because she was good and healthy and nice? No. Because she had trusted Christ as her personal Savior. And I'm very envious of where she is this morning. How great is that? Amen? Just wonderful to be a Christian. So, you pray that prayer and you ask Jesus to come into your heart to be your Savior. And then from that point on, we will refer to you as a Christian. Now, some folks will say they're Christian. Oh, yeah, I'm Christian. I go to the Catholic Church, or I've done this, or I've done that, or my parents always took me to church when I was little. Absolutely, I'm a Christian. Not only that, I'm a Baptist Christian. I go to the Baptist Church. Obviously, that'll get you closer. There's no doubt about that. God loves the Baptists more than anybody else. We all know that to be true. You know that I'm being facetious, but the reality of it is, we'll all take these titles, but I'll tell you what, you can call yourself Christian all you want. You can stand in a garage and call yourself Ford, but you're not. The only way you can be a Christian is to trust Christ as your personal Savior, and if you've never prayed that prayer to trust Christ as your Savior, you can call yourself a Christian, but you're just wrong, not how it is. I've always wanted to buy a Chevrolet and put a Ford emblem on it. I have the Chevrolet. I just got to get the Ford emblem. So if I put that Ford emblem on that Chevrolet, it'll make me feel better. But it won't change what that car is. You can call you Christian all you want. You can go to this church. I've met people that will run into folks. They'll say, "Hey, where do you go to church? Go to Cornerstone. Who's your pastor? Stan Griffin." I've never met them. They come on Christmas and Easter and stuff. It's wonderful to have them. And they can call me their pastor, but really I'm not. I'm just here and they're there, and they like to I don't blame them for claiming they know me. I would think, that would be big, But the reality of it is, that's not how it is. And I just want you to know that for you to call yourself Christian, the only way that can be true is if you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior. And it's the greatest thing you could possibly do, bar none. So, number one, once you've trusted Christ, you are a Christian. The Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." So if you're a Christian here this morning, say amen. Amen. All right. I'm a Christian. Not only that, once I'm a Christian, I belong to the Lord. In our text this morning, Colossians 3, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." Now, I will confess to you, I set my affections on things of the earth at times. I want to buy a new pickup. I think I deserve one. But that's really not a heavenly thing. That's an earthly thing. I can't afford the truck, so therefore I'm not going to have it. But I'm setting my affections on that. I'd like to have that. And some people will get all caught up in wanting things. And boy, I'd be happy if X. Well, you know what? If you're not happy now without it, you won't be happy with it. So it is. So I'm a Christian. I belong to the Lord. I want to set my affection on the things of Him. You know, the Bible says that He renews our mind. Romans. And a lot of times our thinking, our thought process, our minds need to be renewed. I love the book that says, the title of it is, "When Changing Nothing Changes Everything." It's all on how you see things. And Christ changes the way we look at things. I like that. So I'm a Christian. I belong to the Lord. I'm going to set my affections on things of Him. And then I live to please Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. The Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. So I get up in the morning, and every day I just try to serve the Lord. This isn't rocket science, folks. Love the things the Lord loves, hate the things God hates, and just do the best you can, and read His Word, and set your affections on it. This is not rocket science. I'm a Christian. I belong to the Lord. I live to please Him. And then the Bible says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in 2 Peter chapter 3. So our relationship with the Lord isn't what it was when you first, if you prayed and trust Christ last week, I guarantee you over a period of time, that relationship is going to get better. You're going to get closer to the Lord. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are a child of God. We can relate to the things of the Lord. And then as we relate to the things of the Lord, we get around other Christians as a bond that we feel together. I might not know you, but just shaking your hand, looking you in the eye, in God's house, in this environment, I can sense that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Versus more than if I shook your hand at Walmart, some guy I've never seen before. There's no connection there. I don't feel drawn to Walmart. But I feel drawn to the things of the Lord. No offense to you, for those of you that work at Walmart. Or, you know, guy says, when I die, I want to be buried at Walmart so my wife will come and see me. And, you know, I understand all that stuff. But the reality of it is a connection that we have as Christians. So here we are. Over a period of growth in the relationship with Jesus Christ, He becomes our soul mate. And I want you to know, I feel close to Him. I really do. Been saved since I was 4 years old, just as a little kid, barely understanding. But I trusted Christ, and then as you get older, as you're a little kid, you wonder if you prayed the right prayer. Did I say it right? So you ask the Lord again when you're six and when you're eight. And finally you realize that, you know what? I was saved the first time. I said it right. He loves me. He loves you. And you grow in Him. So that's our relationship with the Lord. And it's very important that we understand that, because that relationship with the Lord very much transfers into our relationship with one another. The same principles apply. This is where it's going to get really good. You guys that are married here and sitting with your husband and wife, you're going to feel so in love when I get done today. You're just going to hearken. I can tell some of you are skeptics as you're looking at me, but I'm going to sell you on this. Number one, there comes a time when you make a discovery where there's this person of the opposite sex. I guess you have to say that nowadays. But this person of the opposite sex that you are drawn to, and you look at them, and you work up the courage, and you realize that maybe there could be a spark or something. And you go. It's kind of like Sean making the announcements. Will you go, go? How awful was that? Yeah. Now your mother-in-law is mad at me now. So, and rightfully so, Sean. So, give Sean a hand, will you? Yeah. I should be shot. So, will you go out with me? And I don't know, but I remember those days and scared and afraid. And so you go out with them. And dating is a lie. Did you hear me? I've counseled couples. This is why we have premarital counseling now, because they lie to each other. He's putting on the best front. He's taking a shower twice a day. That won't happen after they get married. She's being nice and bringing him things and cooking him the things that he likes. And after you get married, it's, what's for supper? You're on your own. The kitchen's closed. You're laughing because this is how it goes. I know, I'm married. Okay? Ooh. Yeah. Is there anybody here I can come home with this afternoon? So dating is a lie. You try to put on this best front. And so what do? We get couples together before they get married. And we try to go through all the process of what it's going to be like after you get married to try to get rid of all the lies and cut to it. Who's going to cook? Who's going to clean? You know, you come to find out that he thinks she's always going to do the laundry. And she grew up in a home where dad always did the laundry, and they never talk about that. So then when they get there, and they're married, and they're walking down the aisle, and they're a week later, and nobody's doing the laundry, what happened? So you need to get to know one another. So the relationship starts out, and you fall in love, and you think you found your soulmate. But all of those things are true and wonderful. But it takes time, and it's a process to get to know one another. So, I get married. Once, just like when we said, I am a Christian, once you meet someone and you get married, you would say, I am married. If you're married this morning, say that with me. I am married. Some people, yeah, I am married. Okay? It changes your relationship. It changes your lifestyle. You know what? Now, used to be, before you were married, as a guy, I was looking at girls when I was in second grade. I mean, there's never been a time when I wasn't interested in the opposite sex. It's just the way God made me. I won't apologize for it. But I'll tell you what, as soon as I got married, the looking has to stop. You don't keep looking. You guys that are driving nice vehicles, you don't need to go through the dealership to see what else is out there. The looking stops. The lifestyle changes. Once you've met that special person and you've dedicated and committed yourself to one another, from that point on, the only one you're looking at is that person with you, the other one. Everything changes. You're committed to that person. This isn't bad. It's wonderful. But we set our affections on, just like on Christ, now we set our affections on one another. And I'll tell you what, guys, every one of us married up. Every one of us. Every woman marries down. Just the way it is. Sorry, ladies. Just life. Now, I am married. Then, number two, just like I would say, I belong to Christ in my Christian relationship, now I would say, I belong to Emily. I would say Emily. If you say Emily, unless you're married to an Emily, that would be the wrong answer for you, okay? So, I belong to Emily. She owns me. I own her. Hopefully, she's looking out for me. Hopefully, I am looking out for her. Same way. Just like Christ is in me, I want to live for the Lord. I now want to live for Emily. Now, the Apostle Paul points out, this is, you know, I would that all men were like me, single, so that they could give themselves wholly to the things of the Lord. Well, the reality of it is we're not single. We're married, so we can't give ourselves wholly to the things of the Lord. He's still number one, but our affections also need to go very much towards that person that God gave us. Do you realize, and this is something we try to emphasize in counseling, do you realize that person you're married to, before the foundation of the world, God knew you were going to marry them, and he created them specifically, specially just for you. Emily Lovett was created in 1976, born into this world, especially for Stan Griffin. And I'm not just saying that because she's my wife. I'm saying that's what God intended. And so for me to treat her anything other than absolutely special is to look at God and say, what you gave me ain't good enough. Would you say that about Christ? Are you serious? By the same token, that husband or wife that God gave you is a gift from God Almighty. And for you to treat that gift poorly is an affront to God Himself. Now, I'm not making this stuff up. This is serious business. Why is it so important? Because our relationship is a picture of Christ in the church. The greatest testimony we have in life is how we treat each other, how we respect one another, how we love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one towards another. I'll tell you what, you walk into some churches today, you can't tell they're Christ disciples. All they're doing is fighting, bickering, getting along. knit a little, peck a little, peck a little. What's that song in the Music Man? You ought to go home, watch that. That's your assignment this afternoon. Go home, watch the Music Man. It's an old one. They got these peck, 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 chick, 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 peck, peck. It's all these gossiping ladies with these hats on, and they're pecking like chickens, and they're all talking about this person, that person, and it's, you know what? It looks like some Baptist churches at times. And then we wonder why nobody gets saved in our churches. Who'd want to? Who'd want to? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. You have love one towards another. You know what? Husband, wife, mom, dad, kids, the way we interact, the way we love one another reflects directly on our relationship with Jesus Christ. How much we appreciate what God has done for us, what he's given us. I'm married. I belong to Emily. And this is point number three. I live to please her. It's in my notes, so I had to say it out. Why are you shaking your head, hon? Yeah. But I'll tell you what, I have found making my wife happy makes me happy. Isn't that true? Pleasing Christ pleases me. Pleasing Emily pleases me. Her pleasing me pleases me. But it's true. And you think that God, in his wisdom, instituted the home, the church, and government, those three institutions. And do you think the home being the one that we are at the most, we're not at church the most, we're not in government the most, thank God, we are at home the most, and do you think that number one institution that God started in the Garden of Eden was the one that he just wanted to destroy our life, say, I'm going to put you two together and it's going to be awful in there, take that. No, he's thinking this is going to be so good. You're going to love this, and I'm creating it special just for you. And I'll tell you, there are times where Emily and I look at each other and say, wow, how great is God? Because of the relationship we get to have together. Now, am I all alone in this, or isn't this true? Do I get any amen? I guess I'm going to resign at the end of this message, but I live to please her. And honestly, there are times, guys, your assignment should be to just every now and then, what is it that my wife needs and what can I do for her? It might be something as simple as cleaning out the dishwasher, taking out the trash, doing the dishes, doing the laundry, shoveling the walk between the steps in her car, maybe. I don't know. Could be that she wants vacation to Cancun, I don't know. I live to please him and her and grow in our understanding one to another. We've been married now since 2002, so this year will be 18 years. So I can tell you this, I know her better now than I ever did. And that's a good thing. I can tell you this, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I know him better now than I ever have. What's the two got to do with each other? They've got everything to do with each other. Because if I don't love my wife, I don't love Jesus. And if I don't love Jesus, I don't love my wife. But on the other hand, if I love Jesus, I love my wife. And if I love my wife, I love Jesus. Relationships are everything. Here's the deal. And you can apply this however you want to. You always get excited when I close my Bible. So I usually walk away from the pulpit now and go over here and talk about it over there, but I can't. I'm stuck here today. So here I am. Talking to a couple that they own four houses. You don't know them. I feel safe talking about it. They don't go to church here. They own four houses. They've got stuff. And they're married. But they don't have each other. They're more concerned about the stuff. And I'm just sharing that to say that stuff breaks my heart. Because when it's all said and done, every now and then we have someone pass away and the assets need to be divided up. It's just life. But that person that died took none of it with them. They're gone on to their eternal reward, hopefully with Christ. and how many houses you had or how many cars you had or whatever it is, we are not measured by our stuff. We are measured by our relationships. And I don't know of a higher praise than I can have for someone is that Micah Grant loves his wife, and his wife loves Micah. Kevin loves Carlene. Carlene loves Kevin. Sean loves Becca. Becca loves Sean. Folks, I don't know of anything greater I could say about anybody than to say your name and your husband and wife and know that you two love each other. And when trouble comes or whatever, I'm not worried about your relationship at all. I'm more concerned about how we'll handle the problem. But relationships in life are everything. Say that with me. Relationships in life are everything. And I understand not every person here is married, and maybe you were, and maybe you aren't, or maybe there was trouble or whatever. I'm sorry for whatever heartache you may have gone through, but it doesn't change the equation that relationships in life are everything. And the greatest relationship of all starts with Jesus Christ. And I'm all done talking to people about their relationships with one another. If you've got problems in your home, I want to talk to you about your relationship with Christ. Because if you'll fix your relationship with Christ, your relationship at home will be absolutely fine. Because every relationship with one another starts with a heart problem, and the only one that can fix the heart is Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time this morning. I hope what we've talked about has made sense. Lord, thank you for Emily Lovett, who is now Emily Griffin, who I get to live with, who you made specifically for me. We laugh together. We cry together. We are blessed. The Lord, greater than that relationship is my relationship with you, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for me and shed his blood for me so that my sins could be forgiven because I was not right. And I was going to die and go to hell without you, but because of you, someday when I leave this earth, I'll go to heaven. And because of you, someday when Emily leaves this earth, she's going to heaven. And not only do we get to live together here on this side of eternity, on the other side of eternity, we will live and worship you together. And for everyone that knows Christ, I don't know of a better announcement to make than to say, if you want to go to heaven, then choose Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that every person here at some point in their life has said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. And then, Lord, for every couple that's here today, I pray that it is our desire that our relationship with one another would remind folks of Jesus. So, Lord, we'll open the altar. We'll give folks a chance to respond. If folks want to have questions about eternal life, I wish they'd come see me. Or they just need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and forgive my sins and be my Savior. Then they, too, could go to heaven when they die. Heal hearts. Heal homes, heal marriages, heal relationships. It's not just husbands and wives, it's moms and dads, it's co-workers, it's everybody that we interact with. I pray that people know that we love you because we love them. Bless the invitation, please. Accomplish your will. In Jesus' name, amen.